Welcome to Divine Feminine Rising with Mez Deline. I am Mez Deline, and my intention with this broadcast is to entertain, educate, and illuminate as I share the power and magic of the Divine Feminine. Thank you so much for being here. I'm grateful for your time and attention. In this episode, I want to talk about conditioning and conformity. It's something that I have pretty strong feelings about. As a woman, as women, we fall prey to societal conditioning every day. Whether it's about our weight or about being a mother, finding a husband, being dependent or codependent, being the caretaker, the housekeeper, all of those things are societal conditioning, or maybe conditioning by our families, or cultural conditioning. Men receive conditioning too, such as be a man, don't cry. You know, little boys are told it's not okay to cry. I never told my little boy that. And you have to be the big strong one. You have to protect your family and those kind of things. And so, you know, both men and women are conditioned, but it feels like women have a much bigger load of conditioning in the world. So our roles are now less rigid, it seems like, now that women are in the workforce more, and some men choose to stay home to raise the children while their wives or the mothers of their children go to work. And so there is some blending of the roles now. And it used to be men did certain jobs and women did other jobs. And now pretty much men and women can do whatever jobs they want. However, there is still a lot of conditioning, and there's also a lot of conformity. So how many of us, both men and women, conform in order to fit in? We take jobs we're expected to do instead of jobs that we want to do. We have children when we don't want to be mothers or fathers. How many artists and musicians are told they can never make a living with their creativity, and they're pressured as young people to study medicine, law, engineering, plumbing, anything besides a creative pursuit so that they can support their families someday? Imagine a world where people feel free to express their passions, to express who they really are, who they really want to be. Imagine a world where young people aren't pressured to be or do something they don't want to do. I see in that world where there would be more love and less fear. What do you think about that? So for women, in my opinion at least, societal conditioning, cultural conditioning, whatever you want to call it, is conditioning, has dug its teeth deeply into our lives. We still feel badly about ourselves if our bodies have too big of curves, or if we're too skinny, or if our hair is frizzy, or we don't have long enough eyelashes, or whatever the physical ideas of conditioning are that we've received over time. We still receive feedback about not choosing to have children, or I should say choosing not to have children. So the other day I was in a conversation with a group of women, and one of them said she recently had a gynecological exam, and she's 49 years old and was told it's still not too late if you want a baby. We can help that happen. And she says her whole life she's been told things like that. She has chosen not to have children. That is her choice. But people are judgmental of that choice, even in this day and age. Women are still conditioned to feel dependent on their husbands, or conditioned to think they need a husband in the first place, right? Or dependent on other people, or dependent on their bosses, whoever. Many women still think of themselves as the weaker sex. And in the workforce, women are seen differently than men are. For instance, I saw a thing recently, just a film clip of this lady testifying in front of Congress for the Pilots Association. And one of the congressmen asked her, "Can you tell us what your typical day is like as a stewardess?" And she said, "I'm a pilot." We get this kind of thing all the time. The police officer that arrives on the scene with her partner, who's a man, and immediately the person looks to the man instead of the woman, who is actually the superior officer. I mean, the list just goes on and on. So it's a conditioning that we have, and something that women deal with every single day. In some jobs, women feel like they have to work twice as hard. They have to do more, put out more effort, put out more volume, whatever it is, just to be accepted on an even keel as men. So this kind of thing helps create negative feelings about ourselves as women. The other thing, men still make the rules in regards to our own bodies. We can no longer make decisions based on what's best for us. We're not allowed to make certain health decisions, such as having an abortion, because old white men have decided that we can't. And often they're supported by women who have been conditioned to believe the same thing, right? Even if a woman right now in some states, a woman can be dying, a pregnancy could be killing her, and it's illegal for her to get an abortion. And that's a whole nother subject, and I want to get back to the conditioning. So there's also men around the world who still think, all over the world, that women are second-class citizens, that women are, their role is to be a good wife and a good bed partner, and they just feel that they can, you know, touch women inappropriately or say inappropriate things to women, and it's okay. They expect the woman who is their equal on a job to make the coffee, things like that. It's not okay. So we still have a long ways to go. And for my own self, I've always been overweight. I was born a big baby, short baby, heavy baby. So I was this roly-poly newborn. And my whole life weighed more than what the charts and the medical things say that I should weigh. And so I got a lot of judgment, right? And I judged myself. You know, if only I was skinny, I would be pretty and all those kind of things, right? And then at one point in my life, I don't know, I was in my 30s somewhere. And I started thinking about that, like, where does that come from? Why do I feel that way? There's nothing wrong with my body. I am very healthy. I'm healthier than most people I know. And I am more fit than most people I know. And I remembered how the Rubenesque period of art, which was like 900 years ago, and it was named after Peter Paul Rubin, an artist who painted voluptuous women. And in that day and age, voluptuous women were beautiful. And the belief is that it's because they had enough to eat. You know, they were the ones that were the upper class. They wore the prettier clothes, were able to get their hair done, all those kind of things, you know, 900 years ago, who knows. But they were the ones that were seen as beautiful. And then I really started studying the goddess. When I saw a statue of the Venus of Willendorf, which is a little statue from the Paleolithic period from thousands of years ago, when women were worshipped as the mother goddess, it reminded me of something. I looked in the mirror naked and saw that I looked like the Venus of Willendorf. I had large breasts, large belly, large hips, big thighs. And hey, women used to be revered for being rounder. Pregnant women are round. You know, their breasts are bigger, their bellies are definitely bigger, their hips get bigger, or at least wider. And so that was seen as a positive thing. And tiny, skinny women sometimes died in childbirth because their hips weren't, you know, their pelvis wasn't big enough to give birth. And so it was a positive thing to be voluptuous. And so I started feeling better about my body. And then I had a professor tell me something after I made a comment about wishing I was thinner. And he said, you know, people like you back in the day when there was drought and starvation, the people who had some body weight, they lasted through the drought and the periods of famine. They lasted. And the skinny people died. And so, you know, feedback like that, I'm starting to think, well, okay, you know, I got to get used to this lovely, luscious, curvy body. And I have. I love my body. I used to hate my body. Oh my gosh, how many women do you know hate their body? Maybe you hate your body. Our bodies are magical miracles. When you look at the things that our bodies can do, the way our brains work, the fact that as women, we can grow new humans inside of our bodies. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing thing, right? So yes, I love my body now. And during that conversation I mentioned earlier that I had with a group of women last week, the woman who said that she'd gone to the gynecologist said that despite the continued suppression of women in the United States, she's grateful to be a white woman in the United States. And our talk proceeded to babies and male circumcision and how we all agreed that it was barbaric. And imagine being a tiny newborn baby and being cut on. What a horrible way to start life, by being mutilated. And so then someone said, and female circumcision is also barbaric. And I said, there's no such thing as female circumcision. And the group of women, they all looked at me with raised eyebrows and tried to say that there was. And I said, no, there is not. Circumcision is cutting off a bit of skin. What they do to women is mutilation. They cut off a lot more than skin. And I don't want to go into the details of it, but it truly is barbaric. It's truly horrifying. Women are mutilated, and sometimes they die from infections. Sometimes they become infertile. They're unable to have babies. And this is a cultural conditioning that's been passed down for, I don't know how long, hundreds of years over in North Africa area mostly, but also in other countries. And it is a cultural thing, but unfortunately, it's the women who've been conditioned to do this to the young girls. They are conditioned to believe that finding a husband is the most important thing that a woman can do, and that if you don't have this done, if your genitals remain intact, then you won't be able to find a husband. So in my research a few years ago, I read about this young girl who was mutilated, and she begged her uncle not to do it to her little cousin. And he kind of brushed her off, and he just said that's the way things were done in their country, right, or in their culture. And he had the culture and conditioning also. So that night, this young girl put some medical information and some pictures and descriptions of what was done under his bedroom door. It showed the reality of what this was. It wasn't just circumcision like he thought. And it showed the graphic reality of what was being done to young women. And when he read it, he cried. And he refused to have it done to his own daughter. So, sad topic, I know. And it might make you wonder, well, what can we do to change things, right? And I believe that as women, we can change things. We can bring the balance back into the world. And for me, it's about following a divinely feminine spiritual path and focusing on love and light. It's about having boundaries. It's about standing up for myself, speaking up for myself, and also speaking up for other women. And it's really about protecting young girls. And by that, I do mean keeping them out of harm's way, like the young lady did for her little cousin. But it's also about teaching them that no is a complete sentence. It's important to teach our daughters and young women that it's okay to say no. It's not okay for someone to touch you inappropriately. It's not okay for people to speak down to you. And it's not okay to raise our young women and conditioning them to be subservient. So as women, we bring the balance back to the world by raising our daughters to stand up for themselves, speak up for themselves, and to raise our sons to be loving humans and to view women as equals and not as second-class citizens. And those of us who are more aware in the world are doing that right now. My own son is a beautiful young man, and I raised him with that awareness. And I also taught him that it was okay to cry, that he could be whatever he wanted to be when he grew up. I didn't expect him to get some fancy degree or make a bunch of money. I just wanted him to be happy. Same thing with my daughter. I just wanted her to be happy. And when she was 14 and came home and said she felt bad because she pushed this boy, slammed him into a locker and made him cry because he grabbed her boob, I said, "You did great. Don't feel bad about that, because he might not ever do that again to another girl. You stood up for yourself, and that is a good thing. Don't ever let anybody touch you inappropriately." So that's a powerful thing that as mothers we can do, as sisters, as aunts, as grandmothers. And it's not just our own children and our own grandchildren. When I was a second grade teacher, I taught those children the same things, right? I taught that. It's like, it's okay to speak up for yourself. It's okay to say no. And I taught them what was inappropriate and taught them how to respond if someone touched them inappropriately or made them feel unsafe in any way. And that's what we need to be doing, instead of trying to conform and fit in with societal conditioning. No, let's step out of that societal conditioning. Together we can do this. Together we can shift the dynamics more towards equality of women by using our divinely given powers of intuition, insight, and by using our voices and speaking up for what's right. Together we can make the change the world needs to bring more balance spiritually, emotionally, physically, culturally, all the things. As women, we need to stand together and create equality using love and the power of that love. We can do this. I believe it. Thank you for joining me today. My mission is to help bring back the balance of the divine feminine to spirituality and to the world. Please share my podcast with anyone who might be interested in the divine feminine and personal empowerment. And if you'd like to connect with me further, feel free to reach out. You can find me at mezdaline.com, Divine Feminine Rising with mezdaline.com, Mesdaline Bliss or Mesdaline on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And also, if you'd like to receive my newsletter, please join my mailing list. You can find the form on mesdaline.com. Allow the light of your love to shine. Be the change. Lead the way. And always remember, your light of love is a needed gift to the world that only you can give.